The Holy Gospel is written in the 8th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with the 27th verse. Jesus and his disciples went out of the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned him not to tell anyone about him, and then he began to teach them, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priest, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and after 3 days rise again." He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in your mind concerns God, but merely human concerns." And then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be a disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me, for the gospel, will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me by the words of his adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when it comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. In your bulletin, I'm sure you can find a place near the back, right? Yeah, there's part right in the back. You can write a little note. The first question of the day is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Interesting, the disciples were asked that, and they had experienced things that you didn't get to experience. They got to see Jesus face to face. They got to see him perform miracles. They got to see him feed those that were hungry. He got to see people get healed that were demon-possessed, that were lame. And yet, he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" What if your neighbor or a grandchild, a lot of you got grandchildren now, what if they asked you that one question? "Tell me, who is Jesus to you?" If you could, just write that on your bulletin. It can be a one-sentence thing. It doesn't have to be an essay of 150 words or more. You can do that later at home if you want, or you can share that with your grandchild until they stop you. But if we were just to make it simple, one word, one sentence, who is Jesus to you? And then if you were to go and maybe you went to a business meeting, maybe you went to a counseling session, one of the things that people deal with in life is communication. You heard that before? The key to successful business, the key to a successful marriage, the key to a successful relationship with others is communication. So I want us to explore something in our communication and our lives with God that we can examine, and then maybe we re-answer that same question. Who's Jesus to me? One of the reasons we did this series in regards to what? Grace alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone, was that we would understand fundamentally where we need to be, not just as Lutherans, but believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything we do relies on those statements and the scriptures as we hold them true. And now, no matter how long you've been alive, how long you've gone to church, Sunday school, read things, heard things, we're going to ask certain questions about your communication. One of the things we had mentioned the last few Sundays is that we need to be in the Word. Amen? That means we agree. In the Word of God. And then the question and the challenge was yesterday. It was a good football day. But did you spend any time in the Word? We mentioned you feed, and maybe 2 to 3 times a day. But how often do you feed on the Word of God? Even if it's 1 time a day. The question was, yesterday, did I spend any time in God's Word? Wednesday through Saturday, did I spend any time in the Word of God? Monday, we'll go from Monday all the way through the week. Did you spend any time with God? And if we really expect God to talk to us, help us, and go through our lives, if we're worried about our earthly food, shouldn't we not be worried about our spiritual food? The psalmist says, taste and see that it's good. And that's our encouragement as we grow in Christ, what we want to see happen. Well, I was looking at something and it told me there were 5 levels of communication. I'm sure other writers would say there's 6, 8, 10, 100, whatever it is. But we just deal with 5 today. The first is like a cliche level. The very first level is a level that's like, anybody been in an elevator before? You ever hear the music? We don't even pay attention. We just know it's there until we hear our floor called out, right? And that's the first level of communication with God. It's kind of like elevator music. I've heard about him. Some may have heard about this church. When I used to work in public work, I was a director, executive director of a place. And people didn't know my titles necessarily. They didn't know my name. They just knew and called me the boss. My nurse that worked for me, they didn't know her name. They knew the color of her hair, but they called her the nurse. And that's it. That's all they knew. All they knew about us. And in some cases, when people talk about God, when they talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, all they know, I've heard of that. It's not, I'm not a stranger to it. I've heard about it. Some have heard about our church. They've seen the building maybe and drove by. They know there's a church. That's about is all that they know. And so that question we asked earlier this morning, who do you say I am? What level are you at? Are you at that first level that you know that I've heard about God? I heard about Jesus. And that's about all I know. That's that first level. In relationships, husbands and wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, those going to get married, or whatever as it goes. One of the things of a relationship, as they say, is what? Communication. What do you know about the other person? I hope you know more than just their name and they exist, or what they did in their position. I think you're past that, aren't you? See, past the first level. You're maybe in another level. What's the second level? Well, the second level is a fact-sharing lesson. We share facts. If we want to get to know some people, we ask them certain questions. In men, we sometimes ask about our sports teams. What teams do you like? And I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. I'm a Pittsburgh Pirate fan. I'm a Pittsburgh Penguin fan. I'm a Pittsburgh fan. And I've lived all over the place, but I still, ever since the days of old, held on to Pittsburgh. And I've seen some good days for those teams, and I've seen a lot of bad days for those teams. But that's just a fact. I graduated from the University of the State of Delaware. That's a fact. What are the facts that you have, or the facts you know about each other? Where you worked. Maybe what your hobby is. What things you like. A fact is some of you have decided to be a member of this church. That's a fact. Where do you belong? Where do you go fellowship at church? Well, I fellowship with what? Ascension Lutheran Church. That's a fact. We can prove that fact, and we can go in archives and find them, right? You got a certificate, maybe you can find it, and you pull it out, and you can show, look, I'm a member. It's a fact. But how about it when it comes to your relationship to God? What do you know? Do you know facts? Do you know that He was all God in the beginning in the book of Genesis? You know that as a fact? We talked about some of that in the Apostle Creed. Remember when we went through that this last week? There are certain things that are facts, and we say we believe them. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes? Heads bowing up and down instead of going this way, right? That's a fact. We know that Jesus came, and as He was on this earth, that He was telling these disciples that His plan was that He was going to have to suffer and die on a cross for man's sin. That's a fact. We know that according to Scripture, on the third day, He did what? He rose again. And the Bible tells us if we don't believe that fact, oh, we are the most pitiful people on this face of this earth. And we would come and meet and talk about the crucifixion and not believe in the resurrection. I serve a risen Savior, amen? God gave Him the power to raise from the dead. It's a fact. Jesus says, I'm coming again. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I'm ready, I will come again like the thief in the night. You won't know when, but I'm coming for the church, my bride. You believe that? It's a fact. The answer to your question, do you know the facts? Is that it? Am I just aware of the facts? Or has it made a difference in my life? The Scripture said, if I was to gain the whole world but lose my soul, what's the profit? How am I going to profit from that? But if I know the facts and I communicate in a deeper way, I'll find out there's something much, much more. So there's a part of just knowing little things. Then there's a part of knowing the facts. And then the third is the level of the opinion. Why? The question, why? Why do you like Pittsburgh teams? I can remember as a child, I'd take pictures out of Sports Illustrated or buy posters, and I'd stick them on the wall, and I can remember the old names, you know, Jack Lambert, you know, Elsie Greenwood, different ones, even the commercial with, you know, the Coke, and handed to the boy. And I could see there, they'd get close-ups of their knuckles all bleeding from being out there tackling and fighting. And the wall was covered with those. I did like the Dolphins for a while, because who didn't like them when they had the undefeated season? And you looked at Paul Warfield, Mercury Morris, Jim Kick, and all those. You start to have the answers why, don't you? Why do you come to this church? We were sharing this week and we said, it is an amazing church. Amazing people that show their love for the Savior and love for one another, that we have people when they're suffering, people who have moved away, came back to be with somebody who was having major surgery. Folks, that doesn't just happen. That's a blessing. We see God working different people's lives, and even if it's a text message, we're able to text back. People drive people to an appointment. They're at the third level in their communication and life with God, at least there, because they know why they're doing it. To me, as a person, in a body of believers, of like-minded individuals, I want to be part and I want to participate. I want to join a choir. I want to be out there with some of the people that work during the week here. I want to do the sound system, even though I've done all this other stuff. The why is because it's a point of the service that I'm giving to the Lord. And we have those opportunities, like, you know, Carol mentioned, there'll be things come up the church is doing. Will you volunteer? Well, I want people to know that this church cares, and if I have the chance, I want to be there. I want to help. I want them to know. And those who come to visit, I want them to know that they're welcome, is the why. In your answer, does your answer answer the why? Who's Jesus to you? And then, thank you. That's beautiful. And you know what? Your why is there, isn't it? It says, He's my everything. I've learned in life to trust Him. I've learned what He's done for me. Everything I have is Him. That's at that third level of communication. In your relationships, we definitely know that. We know why you do what you do. As a profession, why you like certain ice cream, why you like certain meals. We know why. It's a higher level, isn't it? We have two more. The next level is way beyond the third. The next level is an emotional level. This gets to the point of your hopes, your dreams, and your fears. When you get to this level with each other, we start to understand why we say what we do sometimes, why we act the way we do, why that offends us sometimes. And why does that offend you? We know why. Because now we share from the emotion. And we share from the heart. When you became to the point where you realized your need for the Savior, did it break you down? Did it break your heart? To find that before a holy God, you were a sinner and you needed the Savior? And like you shared, my dear, when it gets to the emotion part, who is Jesus to you? What does He mean to you? To hear somebody say, He's my everything. Did your spouse say that to you? You're my everything? They don't put too many on the spot. Maybe they will later the week. But it gets to an emotional tie, doesn't it? That there's a reliance on the other person, a reliance on the fellowship, a reliance that there are unique things about them that now that you share, and you would have never known. You know how to make the other person cry? Don't ask the suggestion you do that, but do you know what would make them cry? Do you know what would make them smile? Do you know what would make them to laugh? Do you know how to do something special and catch their attention? This is an emotional level with God. Do you have it? Are you spending time in the Word and find out that He has a specific message for you? Today, as you live today, there's a message and a path for you. If you want to see what others have done in the emotional level, read the books of Psalms. King David and others will write and give you music that will tell you of their emotions and how they go to God. Sometimes the psalmist will tell you of times that they feel their enemies are creeping in. And it seems like the enemy is going to win. And the psalmist cries out to God. How about you? Have you had a point in your life, it just seemed everything wasn't going right, and it seemed this world was winning, and as much as you were fighting to live the Christian life, it was difficult. And did you have to cry out to God? That kind of communication, to know that God hasn't left. He's waiting for you to call upon Him. And then we get to that fifth level. This is the part that's the hardest. In marriages, in relationships, especially in our government, is a word called transparency. You've heard the word before, correct? It's transparent before anyone. It's simply an immediate acknowledgement of where you're at. We like to hide things, don't we? Somebody comes by and asks you a certain thing. Do you actually tell them the truth, or do you... I better not say that. I'll hold it. We're more worried about the hurt, maybe, if we did let people know certain things. You know, this week I thought this. Pray for me. We used to have a group come up and they would have people come to pray. And were you able just to give what you was on your heart? Or were you thinking that if I really let you know this, you'd think differently of me? I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I have struggles. And you have struggles. But are we transparent? Sometimes as people are leaving, we pray that they'll have a good week and move on for God and that they'll see God's presence. But there are times where people stop you and say, pray for me. I had a tough week, a tough day. And some of you have been there. And the communication that God wants with you is that highest level.
He already knows who you are. He knows all your secrets. Yet he loves you. And you might not share with others because we're worried what they might think. But when he comes before a holy God, he already knows, so just tell him. Here's where I'm at. Be transparent with him. Can you do that? When you answer that question, who am I? Look at your answer. And your answer, does it tell us of your relationship, of why? And then, is there something there, transparently, that if you were to share that answer, you would not be ashamed? You would be bold and share that with your neighbor, with your grandchild, with your spouse. It's interesting because as we develop relationships, the only way is to know more, isn't it? I got to know more. And when you're raising children, or when you're raising a family, or you're standing true in your neighborhood, are you standing for the things of God? And why? And is it transparent that all can see, and no matter what the outcome will be, you know. You know my love for the Savior. You might know the love for the brethren, the people of God. You'll see it. You'll know it. And why not give that out to a hard-hearted world that needs a Savior? Ask yourself again, who is Jesus to you? Has it changed in the moment of a sermon? Will it change this week as you spend more time with him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so good to call you Heavenly Father. And may our communication be with you to the highest level. What an almighty God we have. Melt our hearts that we can show our love for you and love for others. In Jesus' precious name, amen.